Hello everybody and welcome back to the HTXT AfriCast. It's Wednesday, it's the middle of the week, let's relax, let's have a little talk about games and cell phones, which is the focus today. The studio with me, Nick.
Hi.
Brendan.
Hello.
We apologize for not being with you last week. No one in the office has owned up to this mistake, so I have randomly picked a phone number from the telephone directory to take the blame. So if you've got any problems, phone Adam Oxford on 011-555-87269.
That's probably someone's number, and we're going to get in trouble for that.
It's probably, you'll probably find it's like SARS or the post office or something.
Oh, we could have planned ahead and actually done that. But we're back this week. We'll be every week. It was just a hitch last week. That's inside baseball. That's not worth getting into. But who wants to start? Do you guys want to talk about phones?
Or well, it is Mobile World games? Congress.
Yeah, let's talk about the phones. Let's talk about the mobiles that everybody
uses. Let's talk about the Nokia 3310 making a comeback.
Let's play Snake. See... So, I don't know if Brendan wants to start with this, but I'm a bit confused. So, Brendan, you want to tell us about Nokia?
So, everybody knows the Nokia 3310, right? Yes.
I used to have one.
Yeah, so did I.
I did too.
I think everybody in this room and everybody in South Africa had a Nokia 3310. Praised as being indestructible, even though I saw quite a few that had broken and had cracked screens and et cetera, et cetera. But now they've reimagined it, and one of the main selling points is that it has Snake on it.
It's not like you can literally type into Google Snake and play it through your browser.
Or play Slither.io, you know, which I think is a better game. But anyway, so yeah, the Nokia 3310 is back. It's a feature phone. It's not a smartphone, as it were.
It's a phone for making phone calls.
It's a phone for making phone calls and sending text messages, which are still relevant to this day. I'm not going to discount that feature phones don't have a place in the society. Not everybody can afford a Huawei P10 or Mate 9 or whatever.
I still
remember flavor of the
feature
day
phones are popular in this country.
Yeah, still. Very much so.
And it has a camera. I'm looking at this.
Yeah, 2-megapixel camera on the back, a headphone jack. Yeah.
Yeah, and, suck it, Apple.
And 16 gigs of internal memory, which I think is pretty...
16?
16
that
gigs.
That is amazing.
For a feature phone, that's really, really good. It doesn't have 3G, unfortunately, but it does have 2G, which is fine. Okay. I mean, this is a feature phone.
In this country, would you notice the difference?
You probably wouldn't.
Got to get that standby battery life, though.
So the RRP is expected to be about 50 euros, which is around 600 rand odd, 680 rand.
Isn't
685.
Yeah,
isn't that a lot of money for a feature phone?
Well, not really. I mean, most of them retail for between 400 to 800 rand.
Mm.
So it's within the scope of where feature phones are priced. I don't know whether reviving the brand of 3310 is really going to help the Nokia brand push
I
more phones.
I 100% think they're not making profit off of this, and it's just for marketing. It reminds me a lot of what Nintendo recently did with the NES Mini.
Yeah,
where they're like, they didn't provide enough so people could buy it, but everyone's talking about Nintendo again. And like, oh, remember the old days?
Fair enough. I mean,
I think it's going to be bought by smug hipsters.
Absolutely.
Who sit at the dinner table going, I feel sorry for you with your iPhone, Android phones. I don't take my phone out of the
I don't have
gonna,
to have apps
I'm
like
gonna
Facebook.
I'm going to take out my typewriter that I carry in a backpack and so continue my novel while we sit here lunch.
One important thing to note is that this phone isn't actually being made by Nokia. Nokia doesn't actually make smartphones or phones at all anymore.
HMD Global.
Global, they bought out the Nokia phone brand. So smartphones and the Nokia 3310, all of them are being made by HMD Global.
Right.
So it's not actually a true blue Nokia. It's not coming from where they finish, aren't they? I think they finish or from somewhere up north in Northern Europe. So yeah, the Nokia 3310 is making a comeback. Then LG's G6 is a really weird phone. So last year we had the G5, which was supposed to be modular. And look at all these cool things you can attach to the phone, which nobody cared about. Because
it wasn't modular in like Project Aura.
Yeah, it was
the
modular.
The only person I know who owns an LG G5 is this lady I know who basically bought it as an excuse to tell people what she'd like for her presents.
What, so like, I want the camera model.
Yeah, I want the camera grip.
That's a little genius if you have rich friends and family. You're like, yeah, sure, I'll buy that for you. No problem.
If you love me, you'll get me the RollerBot.
So in continuing with the tradition of doing weird stuff with their cell phones, LG has now released or announced the G6, which has a really strange aspect ratio. So it's an 18 by 9 aspect ratio, which means that it's twice as high as it is wide. Okay.
So it's a 2x1.
It's a 2x1 aspect ratio. And one of the benefits of that is that you get something called square camera, so you can take the perfect Instagram shots. And then it lines up the so at the top of the screen, you'll have the live feed of what's happening on your camera, and below that you'll have the last image that you took in your camera roll, which I think is quite cool. But also, how often do you take square photos outside of putting them on? I don't even take square photos for Instagram.
Well, the only thing I do is, like, I always have my camera set to 4x3 because
you get the full resolution
of the
camera.
Yeah, you get the full resolution of the camera. That's close to square. but yeah, aside from Instagram, which I use once a year, take a picture of some grass or something.
Some artsy pictures of grass.
Really? That's what you do?
No, I'm making an example.
I take artsy pictures of grass.
It's that time of year again. I'd better go and look at the lawn.
I keep a ruler next to there and I was like, oh, it's 3 centimeters. Time to take a picture. But I don't know, if you're like an Instagram celebrity, you're probably using an iPhone. But
that's a horrible, horrible.
It exists, Nick.
I know.
So one of the weird things about phone is that this is meant to be LG's flagship, so you would expect it to have all the best tech inside it, but rather than going with the Snapdragon 835 chipset, which is brand new and out on the market, and it is designed for smartphones, tablets, mobile PCs,
a new hotness,
it's a really, really good little chip. I'm quite excited to test Samsung's latest smartphone when it comes out, but instead of that, LG went with the Snapdragon 821 processor, which is a little bit it doesn't have as great a Wi-Fi capabilities. It doesn't allow for, it has a certain limit on how big the camera can be. It's a really strange choice from LG to go with this over the latest technology. And I don't get it.
Well, we were speaking about this before. Didn't Samsung or Sony buy out all the chips?
Well, not really. they just took a bulk order because Samsung is their S8 flagship is on the way. Coming, we'll know more about that on the 29th of March, I believe. So they're not at MWC this year showing off any smartphones, which is strange, but I suppose they're dealing with the Note 7 catastrophe. And also Sony's new Xperia XZ Premium has the A35 in it, which we'll get to in a little bit. But it's just a weird choice of specs for this phone that is supposed to be in the upper echelons of the smartphone. I mean, on our benchmark tests, the LG G5 and the Samsung S7 Edge are second and first place, respectively.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to wonder, is this going to be able to keep up with this, with the Samsung? And I don't really know.
Does it come with a RollerBot?
No, it doesn't come with a RollerBot.
Stuff it.
The only reason I can think is that they started developing it before Snapdragon came out
perhaps
with the new process.
That is a complete possibility. As for cameras, it's got dual 30-megapixel cameras at the rear, 5-megapixel at the front. And then the screen is 5.7 inches, which means it's pushing that phablet area. But one of the things that... called.
Well, no, it's not just that. It's just like, you know...
Instagram
you
celebrities
going,
on phablets.
You do sit there going, why don't they bring back the Nokia 3310? And then you like go, it's got this screen and it can't fit anywhere and you have to carry it around in your arm. And it's like, all of a sudden you go, maybe the audience for the Nokia is a bit bigger than we thought. I mean, here's the thing about, like, for example, like, I mean, what is it? This is running on Android, I'm
assuming. Yeah, Android 7.0.
Okay, so what is the Nokia 3310 running on?
It's running on a Nokia's custom OS.
Right.
So it's running on that thing.
How free and available is your data on that thing? How much time are you going to waste on social media with that thing?
You're not going to, because it's a feature phone.
Exactly. This is my point. I mean, could the emergence of the Nokia 3310 mean that we've reached that event horizon where people have actually gone, you know what? Stuff it. I don't need a PDA in my pocket that's also a phone and also a Walkman and also a game tablet and blah, 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 blah. Actually, I just want a phone, and I will give the number out to people I like, and anyone who phones me who I don't know, I'll take the call and then hang up and block them. I mean,
fair enough. I mean, like, I've seen a couple of articles pottering around the internet where everybody's trying to become less connected, seeing as all our data is everywhere. And I mean, like, people forget that their phones house a wealth of data. Like, I've asked all of my friends recently, do you guys have antivirus installed on your smartphone? And they're like, why would I do that? I'm like, well, because you can get pwned, you know, you can download malware. People have backdoors into Android. Like, these things happen. Yeah. And people just don't think about it. And now you're adding another operating system, Nokia's OS. I don't know whether it will be as how secure it will be, but I don't want to say that it's going to be insecure because I haven't had a chance to test it. I'm not knowledgeable about all these security things and how to spot if a OS is vulnerable or not. But yeah, so LG G6, weird phone. I don't know how it's going to be. It seems like the most sane of the phones so far that they've released since the G4. And yeah, then because we mentioned it earlier, the Sony Xperia XZ, and I feel let down by Sony, because last year they were like, no, we've ditched the 4K screen, we don't need 4K, nobody needs a 4K screen on the phone. And then yesterday we find out that the XZ Premium will now have a 4K screen and 960fps slow-mo. I don't know who has a 4K screen on their phone. I mean, the Z5...
Who needs a 4K
screen? Well, the Z5 that was released in 2015 had a 4K screen, and that didn't do well at all because who has that amount of data needed to stream a 4K movie on their screen first off, and the space to shoot a video in 4K. So Sony has now made this screen 4K, which is just, I don't get it. I just don't understand
it. It's one of those phones where, like, our numbers are higher.
Yeah. It's like, oh, let's meet at the urinals and measure them up.
60 frames per second.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
that's all I want.
That's like, fine. That's more than enough. For a smartphone, you don't need more than 1080p, 60 frames a second. Why do I want to shoot 960 frames per second at a resolution of 720p for slow-mo to put it on Instagram? No.
Well, obviously, you'll never be an Instagram celebrity.
Well, I don't really much care about that. I mean, if I was in the business of shooting slow-mo, I would have a proper professional camera to do that with.
Yeah, it's just, it could be numbers for the sake of numbers. I still don't understand these big screens with a lot of resolutions, because, like, is that where you want your battery life to go? Is that really where you want it to go? I agree with Nick. You don't need more than 1080 on a phone. I've used 720 for a long time, and even dipped below that when I had to use a Samsung A3 as a replacement phone. And that's, like, that under 720p on a smaller screen is a little blocky sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, 720p is perfect, and 1080p is just a bit better than that.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, my eyes are caressed now by this beautiful, crisp image. And, like, I just don't get it. And like you say, it uses up more battery power, it uses up more resources. Is that really what you want to be spending that stuff on when you could be playing a game of Candy Crush or whatever instead? I don't get it. It's like you say, it's like, oh, it's numbers for the sake of numbers. Obviously, we'll wait and see how it
performs. And see where all of these things are, whether or not they can be made available.
I wonder if
I think that the Sony probably will be. I mean, like, I think it was like last year or the year before last, after Mobile World Congress, they met us up in Linden.
I think it was LG, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, no.
That was Sony.
Was it Sony?
Yeah. They met us up in Linden. Yeah, it was last year.
I'll tell you which phone I am excited about that was announced yesterday, and that's the P10. And I'll tell you why. I am excited about that.
I'll tell you why.
So the P10, I found that the P9 was very much like a phone with a camera attached to it. It was just a phone with a really great camera. But the rest of it was like, meh. No, it wasn't terrible. It just wasn't anything to write home about, you know? And then recently we got the Huawei Mate 9 into review. And that is something that I'm just in love with that phone. It's really, really great. It's powerful enough. It's fast enough. The only thing is, it's a really big screen. So the P10 has the exact same chipset and CPU configuration that is in the Mate 9. And it's in a smaller screen.
Would you switch to this phone?
Which phone?
This is the one you're describing now.
The Mate 9. If I had the money, I would.
Right.
I can't afford premium smartphones, but if I had the money, I would definitely, that would be my phone.
If they forget to pick it up, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, so this has the exact same configuration. It has 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of memory on board, 20 megapixel camera, plus a 12 megapixel camera. Everything about this, it looks like what Huawei did is they took the Mate 9, saw that it was really good, and then transferred it to the P10, which is not a bad thing at all. It's a really, really great phone. I am absolutely in love with the Mate 9 at the moment. It's probably my favorite phone of this year so far. Or I suppose it was released in 2016, so I can't really say that.
Reviewed this year, yes.
Yeah, reviewed this year. But the P10, I think, is going to be the one phone to watch out for this year, especially considering that it's in a smaller package. It's got a 3,200 milliamp hour battery, which is not too bad. They've changed the way that the moved the fingerprint sensor from the back of the phone to the front, which I'm not too sure I like.
Well, I bought my first personal phone with a fingerprint sensor at the back. And I think it would work better in the front, like on
the home button.
Yeah, on the home button. Which I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's just like. Putting your index finger on the back, like in the middle under the camera, it just doesn't feel as right to me than just using your thumb over the
I think it's a matter of personal preference.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. So they've moved theirs now to the front, which is the way that Samsung, Sony's was on the side. I'm really excited about this, the P10. And then there's also a larger P10 Plus, which is a 5.5 inch. The
You just want to get these things to play with them, don't you?
Yes, I do. Of course, yes. I do. And Huawei's like really their enthusiast grade phones have always been something I've loved. I mean, the Mate 8 was really good. Mm. The Mate 9 is really good. Mm. So the fact that they've now taken what was in the Mate 9 that made the Mate 9 great, which was the great CPU, the great power efficiency, all of that stuff, and put it into this smaller package, I'm really excited to see what comes of it.
Cool.
And that is all from me about Mobile World Congress that is still going on.
We didn't see anything like weird from Mobile World Congress.
Not yet. The week is still young. You know,
it's the whole week.
For me, last year's Mobile World Congress will always be dominated by that picture of Mark Zuckerberg walking past an entire room of journalists with VR headsets on.
People get
that could be the cover of Brave New World.
No, okay, that's silly, right? Because they're basically, by giving those people the headsets, they're like, okay, everybody turn to the left, please. And then Mark Zuckerberg walked down on the right. It could have been anything on their faces. It just looks strange.
Yeah, but it's like, a very powerful image.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Because everybody we have VR headsets now.
Well, no, because
you really haven't done any reading in your life, have you?
Nick, explain to me the significance of people handing out VR headsets and saying, put these on, your peripheral vision is now gone, and then one of the most famous people in the world walks by.
No, what I would say is that the significance of that is that it's a powerful image in that what you are looking at is an entire group of people distracted by technology while someone who has made their billions on technology on a platform that has eaten up not only media, but social media, and is now taking a foray into virtual reality, having bought Oculus. The distraction through technology is a very powerful
image. I would
image.
Believe you if this was a picture of people on a train who had bought their own headsets and Mark Zuckerberg walked down the train.
Fair enough.
They were in a room and they gave them headsets and they're like, put these on, you can't see jack.
But you do, of course, realize that taken out of context, it's still a powerful image.
Yes, out of context, but the context ruins it.
Yes, but here's the thing. God,
so critical.
There's no point in arguing with you about this, is there? Because you just can't see it. You literally can't see it.
The context ruins it. I'm sorry, it does. Anyway, where were we?
If someone had shown you that image when you were like 15,
I would want to know what was on their faces. I wouldn't care about Mark Zuckerberg walking
and down they said
the
to you, this guy right here is one of the most powerful technological entities in the world right now. He's, you know, he's got a platform that is not only, you know, has like, what was it, how many billions on there now?
I have no idea.
Okay. And he's running around the world at the moment going, you know, broadband connectivity is not a luxury, it's a right, and me getting more subscribers to Facebook has nothing to do with me saying this, you know. And he's swallowing up media at a rate of knots, and you don't think the idea of like just the image of everyone looking off to the left,
yes,
into a virtual reality headset while he walks past is not a powerful image, and it's not even a poetic image. You are literally just
kind
nitpicking.
Because it was set up.
You are literally just nitpicking.
Whatever, that was set up.
Did anybody read his
the
manifesto that he wrote?
Yeah, what the world needs is more Facebook.
Oh my God.
Basically,
That's what it boiled down to. Saying. It was like community this and community that, and I was like, okay, how are we going to do this? Well, through Facebook. And I was like, oh, come on, dude, really? Facebook's like, he made some really good points.
Are you paying any taxes?
No, dude. It's when all you have is a hammer. Everything looks like a nail. It's like Facebook will solve everything. That's kind of what it was. I think. And then you scroll past Janet's 15th fake news entry that day.
No one's jumping up and down on Facebook entirely. I mean, Facebook has done a lot of cool things and has enabled a lot of cool things.
Hell, I talked to my friends halfway around the world.
But there is a price. There is always a price. Yeah. It's the old saying in the digital space. If the product is free,
You are the product.
You are the product.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Right.
Moving right along.
Moving on to happier, slashier things.
Tell us about For Honor and Horizon Zero Dawn. You can start wherever you'd like.
Well, For Honor, this is the thing. I mean, I remember when I first saw For Honor unveiled at E3, I think it was 2 to 3 years ago. I think it was 2013. 2014?
I think it was 2014.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever year it was, I remember looking at it going, that looks rubbish. It did. It was like, oh, no, there's Vikings and samurai and
2015,
and
apparently, Nick.
2015. And I was just sitting there going, no, it couldn't have been unveiled in 2015 because I wasn't at E3 in 2015. It was 2014.
It says 20. That's what the internet says. Just keep speaking. I'll look at it.
Anyway, so like, I just looked at it and thought, this looks ridiculous. Really ridiculous. It came out, and I played a little bit of it, but I was reviewing two other titles at the time, so I didn't really have time to do anything beyond the tutorial, and the tutorial didn't impress me in the slightest.
Yeah.
So once again, I'm going, this is rubbish. So when a digital code was sent through to us by the lovely people at Megarom, I did offer it round, and it wasn't so much passed around like a hot potato as it was dropped like a hot turd.
Well, I would have taken it if I had a console, you know.
So I was basically, all right, then fine, I'll bloody do it. I'll review it. And I'm really glad I did, because it turned out to be much better than I thought it was going to be. Basically, the lore in the game is as dumb as you think it will be.
Yeah.
Okay? Basically, it's the idea that, like, a seismic event causes massive shifts in countries' positions over the map, and the samurai and the knights of Europe and the Vikings end up as next-door neighbors.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
And
I remember that part of it.
That's not the stupidest part of the lore. the stupidest part of the lore is that there's this woman who leads the knight faction, who believes the world should exist in a perpetual state of war to sort of weed out the weak from the strong in some sort of Nietzschean masturbatory fest.
You know what's really funny about that, Nick? In the opening cutscene that I watched, because I also played the beta, it's like we've been locked in war for thousands of years. Like, yeah, that's why you haven't moved away from swords and shields.
Mm.
Too busy fighting each other to go discover penicillin. So that was funny. It's like, stuff is real good while you're getting shanked.
Well, this is the thing. The main antagonist believes the world should exist in a perpetual state of war because, you know, the weak need to be weeded out. It's kind of interesting that, you know, in this incredibly macho, masculine, you know, red-blooded male fighting game, you know, it's all a woman's fault.
there's some message. But in the game, you can play as several.
Yeah, you can play
women.
As either...
Plays a Valkyrie.
Well, your avatar can be female or male, basically.
I thought that was dictated by the classes.
Well, in the single player, it's not. You can select if you're going to be a male or a female through the single player. The classes, yes, in the multiplayer. And the multiplayer is essentially what you'll stay for, because you will not stay for the campaign. The campaign runs, I think, about 8 to 9 hours, depending on the difficulty you set at. There's not much point in playing it on normal or easy, because you can spam your way through with two or three attacks, the odd boss battle notwithstanding. You'll only really get to grips with it if you kick up the difficulty a little bit, and you should do that before you head out online, because online is an entirely different beast altogether.
Schooled.
Well, yeah, no, it's essentially okay. So, you know, For Honor, you have two basic stances. You've got, you know, your running stance, your fast moving stance where you can spam attacks and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But if you pull in the trigger on the Xbox One control pad, and I'm assuming if you pull in L2 on the PS4 control pad, your fighter goes into a sort of stance and it starts moving a bit more slowly, and a little sort of reticule appears in front of you.
Yeah.
And by flicking one of the thumbsticks, you can move your sword to the right or to the left or above. Now, if someone attacks you, and you have your sword in the corresponding place, you automatically block it.
Yeah. This is why that system is why a lot of people said this was kind of like rock, paper, scissors.
It is rock, paper, scissors.
Because you have above and then left and right. And those are your attacking and blocking directions. Yeah. So people are like, you mean like rock, paper, and scissors.
Yeah. and the thing is, you also have to... It's a weird thing that you... The less people who are playing in the mode, like one-on-one or two-on-two, the more intimate it gets and the more compelling it gets, because you start to notice in other players patterns of what they're doing. It's like if someone's particularly aggressive or someone stands off for a while, or you do try to make a plan to get into your opponent's head.
Yeah.
I'd say that the most useful... If you can master parrying and fainting, you're standing a much better chance of winning, because you know if you faint and someone goes for you, they leave themselves wide open. You know, if you can parry very well, and that essentially involves watching which direction they're coming from and hitting the trigger at the exact moment that their sword hits yours, you literally push them off and their entire body is exposed and you can go in with a heavy attack.
Jeez.
And
sounds like way too much like work.
And this is any game, when you get right down to it, if you really want to get good at it, if you described it to somebody who doesn't really find the initial concept that appealing, is going to sound like work. Like, for example, if you were going to describe Hearthstone to someone at this stage,
dude,
someone would go, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. That's the same thing that, like, with Titanfall 2, you can pick up Titanfall and be like, oh, I'm running on the walls and I can summon down a giant mech to punch people to death into a fine mist. But after I've played like 48 hours, like 2 days worth of game, and it's like, to get to that next tier where you can win reliably and you can bunny hop and you can just be good, it's so much work.
Yeah. But the thing is, it doesn't feel like work because you're putting in time into a game that you enjoy. And
well, at this point it does, because you have fun for those 2 days and then like, I really want to get good and I have to spend an hour learning how to bunny hop. It's multiplayer games. If you want to get good, scrub, you need to put in the time.
Perhaps the most... In the multiplayer, you've got one-on-one, 2v2, you've got two versions of 4v4, you've got something called Dominion, which is essentially domination kind of thing. It's a control battle. So, but you've got AI grunts running around all over the place as well.
That was strange, because like Titanfall 2, just to bring it up again, was the only multiplayer game I remember recently that had grunts, aside from MOBAs.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see them back in For Honor, even though a lot of people say that Dominion mode is the worst mode of...
I wouldn't say it's the worst mode. And to be quite frank, I really think that which mode you enjoy depends on what sort of experience you're really looking for. I mean, I did prefer the ones where it's two-on-two or one-on-one, just because it's a lot more intimate and it's a lot more immediate. And the other cool thing about it is the developers have kind of thrown some kinks into the mix. So if you are in 2v2 and you find yourself cornered by two enemies, it doesn't necessarily mean the whole game's over.
Yeah, because you've got to be real good, though.
Well, no. The thing is that like, if you get hit from behind, for example, like, you know, you think that would be the go-to thing. You know, someone... keep this guy busy while I run around behind him and stick him in the back. If you get hit from behind a couple of times, you get to activate a function called revenge. And you basically hit the Y button, or in, I think, the triangle button.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your armor goes through the roof and you are able to just bash through blocks like they're paper. So it's like, if you're going to be an underhanded, dishonorable sod, you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you even if you outnumber somebody, it's probably best to attack them from the front. And then, yeah, you're right. You have to be very, very good, because the thing is that you don't have to highlight two players in front of you to block against both of them. You just have to have your sword on the right side.
Yeah.
So if both of them are attacking you from the left and both of them are attacking your left side and you have your sword out on the left, you don't have to have targeted the player that
on the
you
left.
Haven't highlighted in order to block them. You just block them automatically. There's also something called Faction Wars. At the beginning of the game, you join a faction, the samurai, the knights, or the Vikings. It doesn't really matter which faction you join. You can play any character you like. Over a period of like a few weeks, every battle you fight earns a score for your faction.
Is like Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah, as you take over certain parts of a map. And at the end, the faction with the most territory gets the most loot, and so on and so forth. Perhaps the most amazing thing about For Honor is it's actually the best reason you've ever had to have a Uplay account or to go to the Uplay store.
Yeah.
Because you get tons and tons of in-game stuff, and you can redeem it in the Uplay store.
Oh, that's cool.
The other thing is also, for a game that you know you're paying a premium for... you do find that you have a lot of microtransactions in there. You were waiting for that.
A lot.
But you can grind. You can grind and earn in-game gold. You know.
Okay.
Nicer swords. Nicer mask. Skull for a head.
Oh, that's awesome!
You can get flaming pauldrons. I've seen that before, which is really cool.
Yeah, flaming
pauldrons. Why would I want those?
Because they look badass, man.
So I'm just walking around the battlefield. That's super realistic. Totally accurate to real life.
That pirates used to put matches in their beard so it looked like they were a smoke demon.
You played way too much Assassin's Creed Black.
No, that's really from history, apparently.
Look, the pair of you, we're talking about a game where Vikings are fighting samurai and knights. Realism doesn't really come into it.
Went out the window a while ago.
It's like that thing with The Last Guardian when like someone said to me, oh, that's how a real animal would behave, actually. And you're like, it's a griffin. It's not real. Okay, and so For Honor, I enjoyed a hell of a lot more than I thought I would, and it's a lot more involved than I thought it was going to be, and it would be interesting to see how it develops over a period of time.
Would you say buy it now or wait for a sale?
I would say if you're the sort of person that appeals to, get in now, because you'll be earning more in-game currency the sooner you start.
Yeah.
If you're one of these people who was a curious onlooker, I'd say wait for a bit.
Okay.
But the great thing about For Honor, or I'd say the most immediate thing about For Honor, is that just looking at it and looking at some clips on YouTube and looking at trailers, you will know very, very quickly like that whether or not you're the sort of person that this is going to appeal to.
Cool.
And, you know, you can make your decision based on that. So, yes.
Yeah, it looks cool. I like on the... on the subreddit for the game, there's the knights keep winning.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, I think it's from one of the strategy games, when the knights do something, they say, Jus Volt. And that's, if you go on the subreddit, every second post is one of the knight players saying Jus Volt, which is...
what does that mean?
It means conquer or something.
I remember reading something about that the KKK sort of adopted that saying.
What?
I don't know that. This comes from the... comes from the Crusaders. It was made popular.
No. It's totally like... Yeah. It's something from history. But I remember reading... I'm not 100% sure if this is accurate.
I really think that they should stay away from stuff like that if you're going to meld the world so that Japan sits on the border of Scandinavia and Italy.
Yeah.
It was the battle cry of the first Crusaders, and I'm just looking up which game made it into a joke. It was 2015, Nick.
Okay.
At the Ubisoft press conference.
God
wills it in Latin.
Your God spot. Wills it.
Yeah. It came from... Yeah, it was one game.
It was one game.
Crusader Kings 2.
Okay.
So you play Crusaders and one of the army guys says, Jus Volt, and it became a meme.
That's the thing, though. It's like, you know... given, you know, the events of the last 20-odd years, the word crusade has taken on an incredibly nasty...
Nick, was it ever good, though?
Well, no, but, like, the point I'm trying to make is that the idea of, like, if you're going to throw the Crusades or a soundbite from the Crusades into your game, just beware of this, because, you know... You know, it's the same sort of reaction I had when I played a video game called, oh God, what was it called? Rugby Challenge. Yeah. First Rugby Challenge that was made by Seed Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't have the license for any teams apart from the All Blacks and the and the Wallabies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, South African basically was the Springboks had basically the South African flag, so they basically looked like multicolored lollies running around the pitch. But the English, okay, the English team had like a massive red cross across the front. And you were just sitting there going, wow. That's not good.
That's not good at all. Get your licenses.
You know, it's weird. It's like, you know, it's a cool design, but I'm not sure that with the historical connotations that come along with that, you should really be using it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, tell us about
Horizon I will tell you about Horizon Zero Dawn when I have finished it, because we have run out of time this week.
Oh, boo, Rob, what do you hear about robot dinosaurs?
Well, I'll tell you this. You will be happy to know
that
you can jump onto the top of a tall neck.
Yes.
And ride commandeer it.
Oh, man.
Okay, wait. A tall neck looks a lot like a giraffe. Where do you sit?
On its head.
On its head. The satellite head that it has.
Don't you worry about making it too top-heavy and falling over.
No, it's... Dude, like...
It's got counterbalances. It's a machine.
Dude, you know those beams at the back?
Yeah.
Those are counterbalances. The fact of the matter is that you don't just, like, walk up to the tall neck and go, excuse me, like a lift, please, and it leans down and picks you up. You have to climb the damn thing.
That's cool.
And it's because it's so heavy and robustly made, it's completely unaware of you as you come up the top of
it. Okay. This is going to be the next Ubisoft tower climbing thing. The next game, they're going to have giant robot giraffes, and instead of climbing radio towers, you're going to need to go up the neck of a robot
maybe
giraffe.
Please don't joke.
But I'm calling it.
That having been said, maybe not, because Guerrilla Games made this one. So it's nothing to do with Ubisoft.
No, I'm saying Ubisoft is going to see this.
And Ubisoft has just produced a game called For Honor. No unlockables in the maps.
Mm.
No towers to climb. You know, no parkour.
Wildlands has all of those things.
Does it?
Wildlands, like encampments that you have to take over and...
For honor, damn it. For honor. Anyway.
Yeah, that's going to wrap it up, everybody. We will see you next week. Links to all the stories we talked about today will be under this podcast from myself, from Brendan.
Cheerio.
From Nick.
Goodbye.
And from everybody else at HTX Africa. I messed it up at the end there. We will see you next week.
Bye. For honor!
Who's Volt?
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.